The following audio is brought to you by Summerside Community Church in London, Ontario. For more information on Summerside, visit us online at www.summersidechurch.ca.
Good morning. It's good to be with you this morning, and we've been praising God and worshiping Him in song. Those words touch our hearts, and we resound as we praise the God of all grace and the God of all mercy. That God of grace and mercy is working in our lives right now. Our hearts are beating because He is there sustaining us. Our breath we are breathing, that we breathe for our whole life, is only by God's grace, and we worship Him. We forget sometimes these basic things, that life is from God and we are accountable to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We praise the Lord for His work in our life, and it's only by God's grace. I wonder if you could take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. The title of my message this morning is In the Name of Jesus. In the Name of Jesus. It seems as though it's very difficult to watch a movie without the name of Jesus being taken in vain. That still just cuts me. Because we've been worshiping that Jesus who lived a perfect life and died on that cross, bearing my sin, paying the penalty for my sin, and then rising again the third day, victorious, appearing to the women and the disciples and 500 at one time, and then ascending into heaven. That same Jesus, it cuts me when I hear people. I watched the Blue Jays game yesterday, and someone was talking and used the name Christ. And it bothers me that people are using the name of Christ but not worshiping the Christ of salvation, the Christ of creation, the Christ that we are accountable and responsible to. In the name of Jesus. I got problems in my life. I've got things that I'm praying for right now. And I pray. I pray for every meal. And I pray and I say, thank you for this food. In Jesus' name, amen. Because I'm worshiping Him that He's provided the food. But it would be great if I could just pray these problems that I'm facing in my life. Maybe that you're facing some problems. We could just say, pray about that. Say, in Jesus' name, as just an ending, and then everything would be okay because we could pray in Jesus' name. Now, there's power in the name of Jesus, but I still have to live with the challenges I face. God is not going to fix my problems just because I have in Jesus' name at the end of my prayer. But there are promises in God's Word. There's examples in God's Word of the power of Jesus' name to work amazing things. And God is doing amazing things around this world, in the Himalayan region, in South America and Africa, for the glory of God, even in our country, although we are challenged by the faith and the challenge of people coming to faith in Jesus Christ, even in our own country and the opposition we face there. So if you could take your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 3. I didn't put it up on the PowerPoint, so I will read and tell the story. But let's just get a little bit of the history of Acts. Acts chapter 1, Jesus ascends into heaven. And he's ascended into heaven, and two men in white apparel appear as Jesus ascends from the Mount of Olives. And they say, this same Jesus who you see go up into heaven will come again as you have seen Him go, in the same manner as you have seen Him go. And He hasn't come back again, but I'm looking forward to that day when He's going to return and be here on this earth. He is coming again. So we pray in that same Jesus. name. Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit is sent. And Jesus has ascended. He says, if I go away, the Comforter cannot come. And John, and so as a result, he goes away and he sends the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And it comes down on the people. And they speak in other languages that they've never learned. And people are hearing in other languages. And it's an evidence of the power of the Holy Spirit working in the life of the church and the believers there. And the church is doing well, and the church is growing because people are coming to faith in Christ. And then Acts chapter 3 happens. And it's the story of the lame man. Peter and John go up into the temple in Acts chapter 3. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. So this is the front gate of the temple before they go into the court of the women, before they go into the outer court, before you go into the Holy of Holies. This is the front gate, the beautiful gate facing to the east from the temple. And he is over 40 years. He has been lame from his mother's womb. He never, ever walked before. And he sat there day after day as they carried him and laid him there. And then as a result, he would beg alms for the poor. And that's how he lived his life. That's how he made his income. And to ask alms for those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. Fixing his eyes on him, with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God with all the people. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Amazing story of God's grace in this man's life. Now, can you imagine? He'd never walked. This is an amazing miracle. I cycle, and I've come off my bike. My wife says you've fallen off. Yes, I've fallen off my bike a few times. I've broken ribs. I've scraped knees. I've damaged myself in certain ways, and you have to go for physiotherapy and fix that wrist or fix that elbow or fix that. He had never walked. He didn't have to go to physiotherapy and get stretching of those ligaments or those muscles or whatever. By God's grace, God healed him. The Creator God healed him. And Jesus, as Peter said, in Jesus' name, stand up and walk. This man walks and is walking and running and jumping and praising God. There is healing in the name of Jesus. Now, it's not some incantation that you can just say, okay, well, I'm going to pray this, and I'm going to pray in Jesus' name, and it's going to happen. But God, according to his will, heals. And God is doing that around the world today. In this Himalayan region that we're working with, there are many churches that are being started because a pastor goes into an area or a preacher goes into an area, and they share their faith, and they pray for the believers there, and God miraculously heals those people, and churches are being started. Praise the Lord for that. God is a God of power, and there is healing in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And as I studied from Acts chapter 1 to Acts chapter 5 and read over and over again, it talks about in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And so it's very important. And there are various names for Jesus. I counted maybe 15 different names of Jesus in this passage. And maybe we'll get some time to look at that. But healing in the name of Jesus. James chapter 5 and verse 14. It says there, "If anyone is sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them come and pray, anointing with oil in the name of Jesus." I think that's still valid today. I believe that's valid. When I was a pastor and pastoring, we did that with people. We came and we anointed them with oil in the hospital. And God sometimes healed, sometimes didn't heal. But we prayed in the name of Jesus and according to His will. There's another verse there, Matthew 7:22. Matthew 7:22, Jesus says, in the end times, some people will say, have we not cast out demons in your name and done amazing works and healed in your name? And Jesus will say, depart from me, I never knew you. It's not so important about the name of Jesus and what we're doing. It's the relationship we have with Him on a regular basis. And that might go up and down. I know during this pandemic, I've been up and down. And sometimes, God, are you there? And sometimes, God, you're here. You're with me. It's an up and down relationship, but it's He's in our hearts and lives. It's not so important that we claim that we know Him, but does He know us? And is it on a regular, daily basis as we come to Him and worship Him and pray in His name? Healing in Jesus' name. The next slide, I had a picture of some people in the Himalayas, my wife with these two women, and there's a church there in the Himalayas that God has started because He healed a man, and as a result of that, they were able to start a church in this major city in the Himalayas. God is doing amazing work, but let's not try and use this in Jesus' name incantation to try and get what we want. It's only according to God's will. The second thing that I find in this passage concerning in Jesus' name is persecution in Jesus' name. Persecution in Jesus' name. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 3 there, because Peter and John heal this man, there is an uproar. And so the religious leaders of the city say, this is the problem. So they get Peter and John, they put them in prison for a while. They lay hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. And then at 4:18, so they called them. Well, let's look at 17. So that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in this name. What name? The name of Jesus Christ. They didn't want the name of Jesus Christ mentioned. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge. Okay, they're talking to religious leaders and they're saying, okay, if God is telling us to do this, we're going to do this and we're going to preach in Jesus' name because He has commanded us to do that. And we're not going to listen to you even though you may be religious leaders. That's sort of what they're saying here. That's exactly what they're saying here. Chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. Chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. Let me read those verses for you. But Peter and the other apostles, saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us. Okay, they realized that Jesus was crucified because it was the religious leaders. Now you're preaching in Jesus' name and people are following this Jesus and it's going to affect us. And so they persecuted them. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Now this is often used concerning civil disobedience. Well, if the government or if this leader says one thing, we're going to say, well, we're going to obey God rather than men, and ultimately that is true. In this context, it's talking to religious leaders, but I believe that's a true principle. If there comes a place in my life where I have a conviction about God's word, and somebody is telling me something different, I'm going to follow God, even if it means persecution. That's what's happening around this world. In Africa, in Asia, many people are in prison. Many people have been killed. Many people have lost their livelihood. And they're suffering in great, great ways because they are worshiping God. And they're saying, God, I will do whatever you want, no matter what that is, even if it means personal loss to myself. And the church is growing because of persecution that's happening. One example of that is in this Himalayan region, is a church that had 300, network of 300 churches across the country. And 5 years ago, they had 300. And they set a goal of planting 500 churches in the space of 4 years. And now they're over 500 churches. Through persecution from the government saying you cannot proselytize and you can't switch somebody from one religion to another religion. If you do that, you're going to be put in prison. But God has blessed this church even through that persecution. I know the leaders. I know the multiplication of churches that they're doing. What they do is they... there's one church, and that church, there are 10 people from this village, and so they send a leader to that village, they start a Bible study, and that becomes a preaching point, and then that becomes a church. And the mother church has about 5 different churches that they're doing at the same time, and they're multiplying themselves even through persecution. There is power in the name of Jesus. Jesus is the only name and the one that we worship. 40 and 41 of chapter 5 there, it says, and they agreed with them, and when they called for the apostles and beaten them, okay, so they were beaten, they commanded them they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. If you get a chance, if you read chapters 1 to 5 over and over again, in the name of Jesus. And it's talking about the power of Jesus. Because Jesus, in the name of Jesus, there is power. And they let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Have you ever come to a place in your life where you're persecuted for your faith and you say, thank you, Lord, because you found me worthy to suffer for you? Maybe you have. Many people, many churches, many places around this world, there's major persecution. And some of the believers say, I'm just so glad that God trusted me and found me worthy to allow me to suffer for his name. Let's pray for those believers. Let's try and help them. We are involved in a mission, and this mission works with national believers in those areas in the Himalayas and all around the world, but specifically for us in these areas. And we help the national church get strong and multiply themselves so that they can send missionaries to other countries, but also to plant churches within their country. It's called Live Global. And a good way to remember that is remember, well, there's global news, right? And there used to be Live Global News. It used to be called Live Global. Just think liveglobal.ca. So if you want to go to the website, you can see some of the things that God is doing through national believers in more than 60 countries around the world. Persecution in Jesus' name. And I've given you the example there. The next verse I want to talk about is Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Salvation in Jesus' name. There is salvation in the name of Jesus. I trust that you know Christ as your Savior this morning. But if you don't, there's power in the name of Jesus Christ to save. Matthew 1:21. The angel appeared to Mary and said, you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Jesus, the name Jesus means salvation. Joshua and Jesus, similar. And so Jesus, there's salvation in the name of Jesus. Of Jesus. Acts chapter 2 verse 21. Whosoever shall call in the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now that's when they were explaining what was happening on the day of Pentecost and the Holy Spirit coming down and people speaking in other languages. And as they were explaining that, they went back to Joel chapter 2. And in Joel chapter 2, it talks about that. And then at the end of the passage, it says, and whosoever will call in the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you done that? Today? Have you called upon him? Is he your Lord? Is he your Savior? I believe once saved, always saved, because it's eternal life and you get it eternally. And if it's eternal, it's not going to ever end. And so do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 there. And Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 is an amazing verse, and it's an exclusive verse. It says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's exclusive, isn't it? There's no other name under heaven. Under heaven, that means under the atmosphere, on the earth, there's no other name under heaven given among men, amongst humanity, whereby we must be saved. There's some things we can learn from that passage. And that is, there's no other way. In our society today, in our education system, there's a suggestion that, well, there are many ways to God. Islam, they would suggest, is a way to God. And Hinduism is a way to God. And Buddhism is a way to God. And Sikhism is a way to God. But if you look at this verse, it says quite plainly and clearly, there is no other salvation other than in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only way. Can we go to that next slide, please? And in that next slide, there's only one way. There are not many ways. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That sounds pretty exclusive to me. Jesus Christ is the only way, not many ways. What are we saved from? It says there, we are saved. There's no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Saved from what? Saved from the punishment of sin. Saved from eternal separation from God in hell. There's only one way, and it's through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And that's what we're teaching God's word to those believers, and they believe that to be the case. And that's why there are missions, so that we can go into the world and share the gospel of Jesus Christ, and there is no other way. If there was another way, then let's not worry about going there, because they've got something. They've got a way. There's only one way, and it's through Jesus Christ. And there's an urgency to trust in his name, whereby they must be saved. The urgency of that as well. So the name of Jesus Christ, the power of the name of Jesus Christ to save, the power of the name of Jesus Christ in persecution, and the power of Jesus Christ, healing. Just a brain freeze there, excuse me. So the power of Jesus Christ, I've got it right here. So one other verse I'd like to talk about, and it's Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15 and verse 14. It says there, it's talking in Acts chapter 15, there was controversy, and there's a Jerusalem council meets, and they're saying, okay, well, is God just for the Jews, or is God also for the Gentiles? And there's talk about that here in verse 14, and a discussion about that and a decision about that as well. It says, Simon has declared how God at the first visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Now, I don't believe I have any Jewish background. That means I'm a Gentile. I don't know. It'd be nice if I had some Jewish blood, but I don't know for sure. If you're Jewish, you come to Jesus Christ in salvation in Jesus' name. If you're Gentile, you come to salvation in Jesus Christ and in his name. There's taking out a people for his name. People from every tongue, tribe, and nation. And that's what God is doing around the world. And that's a quote from Amos chapter 9, verse 12. Gentiles who are called by my, all for the glory of God in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are working around the world. Thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ and forgiveness of sins because of what Jesus Christ has done. Lord, we pray that you would continue to work in healing, in persecution, in salvation, that many people around this world would come to faith in Jesus Christ. Thank you for what you're doing. And we pray this all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.